control, searching for the depth of my own soul. I breathe from far beneath, my cover keeps the red from the
Alien Podcast, with your hosts Paul Mano and Matt McAfee, The Men in Black, Episode 5.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Alien Podcast. My name's Paul and I'll be joined with my cohort Matt as we discuss the Men in Black. What is it with the Men in Black? What do you think they are?
I'm kind of mixed on that because there's been so many different things that have happened. Of course, Men in Black really hit the mainstream about the same time as Roswell, about 1947, I believe. And it turned out it was all part of the Maury Island incident, which, of course, it was proven to be a hoax. There's been so many different things that have happened. I think that there almost has to be some credibility to the Men in Black because, again, it's like UFOs in general. So many people have had experiences with them that it's really amazing. I think in the 1950s was when it really took off as far as people seeing or having experiences with the Men in Black.
Yeah, it seemed like there was documented experiences in the 50s and 60s. And not so much anymore, really. You don't see or hear much of it. Most of them were all in the 50s and 60s, really, unless people nowadays are too afraid to really mention anything about it.
I think the last big one was 2008 in Niagara, whenever they had two of them come into the hotel. I don't know if you've ever seen that video where the hotel manager had claimed to have witnessed a triangular UFO. I believe that there was also another hotel employee who also witnessed that.
That's famous pictures that are out there of
right.
Allegedly Men in Black.
And there was another one taken. I believe that one was in the 60s where there was a couple who claimed to have been harassed by a Man in Black. And they told some friends about it, and the friends basically said, well, we're going to see if we can find this guy. And they ended up snapping a picture of him standing in a doorway. And the couple later said, yeah, that was actually him. That's the man that we were talking about.
Yeah, and I've also heard stories of some of the more prevalent ufologists that have been surveilled by them, always having a black car parked out in front of their house and keeping an eye on them. And it's really a mystery because when you look at it, there's really not a whole lot of information out there on them and certainly not a whole lot of concrete evidence for them.
I know most people that have seen them have said that when they see the vehicles that they're driving, they're driving an outdated vehicle, and even the suits that they wear seem out of time. They're known for wearing fedora hats, which hardly anybody ever does. But back in, say, the 1950s and 60s, fedoras were really in style. That's something that has been very puzzling, is why they would still be doing that. Even that video in 2008 shows them walking in the stereotypical black suits wearing fedoras.
You would think with being just in black and white, those are pretty nondescript colors. Don't stand out. Even with the hats and the sunglasses or whatever, they still don't really stand out. If you've seen the bright Hawaiian shirt, you're going to remember him.
Well, the thing that I think really stood out about that video was the dress that they had wasn't necessarily what got them to stand out, but it was more of their size. According to that
right.
picture, there was a gentleman that walked right by him, and both of them dwarfed that man. It looked like they were 7 feet tall.
Yeah, and that's one of the other questions, is are they human or are they something else? People say that there's both.
People have claimed to have seen both out of them, that some people say, no, they were definitely human. They simply didn't have any facial hair, and that includes eyebrows, eyelashes. They didn't have a beard or mustache or anything. Just their head was completely bald. Or if they did have hair on top of their head, people said it was an obvious wig.
Yeah, that's some of the descriptions of people. And it even seems like a lot of the descriptions aren't consistent either. You know, not seeing the eyelashes or any facial hair or anything like that. But a lot of times they don't seem to be a lot of consistency among the people that have seen them or have encountered them or even spoke to them, for that matter.
Kind of a conspiracy about that, that you have the real Men in Black, and then you have government agents who would be completely separate from the Men in Black, but they're told to act like the Men in Black, go out and threaten people, get those people doing the same thing that the Men in Black do, only they're actually human. So you have reports that you have these non-human entities, but at the same time, you also have reports that say, no, they're very human. So it seems to be a little bit of cross-pollination between whether they're human or not. Some people have even called them time travelers because they're so far out of time. They've been known to ask people, what time is it? Everybody who says that they've asked them what time it is, it's not like they're asking them, say, what time of day it is. The people may respond and say, well, it's 2:30. They said it seems more like they're asking what time period is this. People said that it's almost like they don't know really what time and place they're even in. People have claimed that they've even done so much as materialize in a room right next to them. And you have to wonder, okay, if you have something which is non-human, and say if it is extraterrestrial or an extraterrestrial hybrid, do they have that ability to be able to sort of transport or maybe walk through different dimensions to be able to get to the place?
I would say they do, just because of some of the accounts that you've heard of these people just almost instantaneously after somebody has had a sighting, a very good sighting, put it that way, that how quick these people arrive there. It's like their next door neighbors are the Men in Black. You know what I'm saying?
They arrive there very quickly, and they have an extreme knowledge of the events that occurred.
Right.
Which is that's very, very unusual.
Right. It's not like they show up and ask questions. They show up and tell you what you're going to do. You're not going to do.
They tell you what you've seen and then what you're going to do or what you're not going to do, like you said.
Right. Right. So they don't show up and ask you what you saw. They know what you saw. They just don't want you repeating it. But I wonder how often that really does happen anymore.
I've actually done a little bit of digging into it. I really like Nick Redfern's work on the Men in Black. He is probably the world's foremost expert, in my opinion, on the Men in Black.
He probably is.
He has been digging back through history. He has found instances in, I believe it was 1908, where quite a few people had actually witnessed a UFO, and they said that a matter of hours that there was a black carriage pulled by two black horses with a man sitting on top of it, dressed in all black, wearing a black cape and a black hat, who rode into town, and he told everyone, do not talk about what you've seen. That's really amazing, because now you're going back past 1947 to the early 1900s. Nick has said that in his research, he finds them going back century, which is rather interesting.
Yeah. Are they actually going back in time, or are they actually there?
Exactly. Nobody really knows.
That's a question.
But like you mentioned earlier, with the way that they show up so quickly after an event, it really is amazing. And they already have all of the information. If you have been a witness to it and say it's a rather big event, they already have all of your information. They know where you live. They know your phone number, everything.
Right.
And it's happened multiple times.
Yeah, they don't show up not knowing what's going on, that's for sure. You know, most people that after they've been visited, they, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, I'm not going to talk about this. I don't have anything to say about what I saw.
They're very, very intimidating, really, in how they handle people.
Well, I think somebody in a black suit approaching you, telling you you're not going to say anything about something, I think that's intimidating enough. And it doesn't even matter what the subject is. You know, if you were to show up this morning or show up and have one of them show up and say, you know, you're not going to tell anybody that you what you had for breakfast this morning, because if you do, it'll be the last one you have. That would be pretty intimidating. I mean, you'd have to admit, because it's something out of the ordinary, something that doesn't happen all the time, which will bring me to my little story involving Men in Black, or what I think was Men in Black, or might have been or may not have been. I don't know. It's just the way I seen it. And I'm not the type of person that I can look at something and I don't see, my mind doesn't play that many tricks on me, put it that way. I've told you this story, but the other people haven't heard this. The one night when I was driving home from work, I was on the highway. It was about a quarter till 5 o'clock in the afternoon in late February. So it wasn't quite where the sun was completely down. You know how in late February here, it doesn't really get dark till about 6 o'clock, or well, not 6 o'clock, but maybe 5:30 or quarter till six. So you've still got pretty good daylight at that time here. And it was enough daylight to where nobody on the highway had headlights on. So I'm going down the highway. I'm doing about 60 to 65 miles an hour. This Suburban, Chevy Suburban, got on the highway from one of the main interstates that runs through St. Louis here. They merged onto the highway that I was on. It was a black SUV, totally blacked out windows. It had a Missouri license plate on it that was not like any other Missouri license plate that I had seen. It was very similar, but there was something about it that just didn't look right.
Was it clear? I mean, could you actually read it? No.
Well, yeah, it didn't say government on it. It was like a normal license plate would be, with the same letters and the same, you know, sequence and everything else as all the rest. It was a vivid looking license plate in comparison to all the others. And it just stood out more than all the others. And I've never seen one stand out like that before that or since then. But this car, this SUV was totally black with totally blacked out windows. I mean, you could not see inside the blacked out windows at all. I got in front of them because they were only doing about 55 miles an hour. And I mean, they were not exceeding that really. And the speed limit on that highway is 60. So they were in the middle lane. I was in the left lane just next to them. And I got in front of them. And when I got in front, I looked back in the rearview mirror. There was two people sitting in the seats. All I could see was a white V with a black tie, as if they had black sport coats and the straight black ties with a white shirt. They both had sunglasses on. Now, it was at a time of day when you wouldn't really have needed sunglasses, because as you know from living here in the wintertime, most of the skies are pretty much gray all the time here. But they had sunglasses on. I couldn't see if they had a hat on or not. And they, neither one of them, I mean, they looked straightforward. Not once did I see either one of them move their head, any motion whatsoever. And I tried to keep an eye on them, because like I said, they were going 55 miles an hour and I was going faster than them. So I was trying to stay in a spot in traffic to where I could still see them, because they had their headlights on. So I could kind of tell where they were. And I swear that I took my eyes off them for 1 second and they were gone. I mean, just gone. I couldn't see which way they had gone, if they stayed on the highway, got off the highway. They certainly didn't pass me. So then when I got off the highway, I made sure to look at the traffic to my left to see what was going by. There was no SUV that went by me. And I know that they weren't behind me. So it's kind of a strange story, and I'm not sure what I saw, but it sure seemed like that's who it was. Now, why they would have been here, I don't know.
Have you ever heard Dan Aykroyd's story of the Men in Black?
No, I haven't.
It was actually a very interesting story. He was at a studio. They were in the middle of filming a show for the Sci-Fi Channel about aliens. He went outside to smoke, and he got a phone call from Britney Spears asking him if he would be on Saturday Night Live with her. As he was talking to her, he looked up and he saw a black SUV sitting across the road. And he said the funny thing was, for some reason, the license plates caught his attention. He said there was something about the license plates that he just couldn't quite put his finger on. And then he realized that the license plate almost looked blurred. He kept an eye on this SUV, and he said it only took a couple of seconds, and these two gentlemen got out of the SUV and just looked directly at him. He turned around for just a split second, he said. When he looked back at the SUV, they were gone. He brought up the point, and he said, I was in the middle of New York City. You don't just turn around and get out of there in a couple of seconds. It really reminded me of that whenever you said that about the license plates, and then they were suddenly gone as well.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that about the license plate, him thinking, seeming like it was blurry, that might be the description that I was looking for and I couldn't find. They were blurry, but yet clear at the same time, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Just something that would catch the eye.
I have to say, I'm actually jealous of that. I would love to have a Men in Black encounter. I'd really love to have
that one over again.
I think you probably remember when I lived there in St. Louis, and I cannot say for sure that was a Men in Black encounter or not. When we were out one evening and came back and pulled in the driveway, the front door was standing wide open. I turned on and said, hey, you and the kids stay out here in the van. I'm going to go in and check this out. Well, I went in there, and as soon as I went in the house, I heard the basement door shut, the door going into the family room in the basement. So I immediately went down the step. As soon as I opened up that door, I looked up. I could see the blinds over the glass sliding door that led out onto a patio. And I could see those blinds rocking back and forth as if somebody had just gone through them. Then that glass sliding door was standing wide open. So I immediately ran across the room, went right through there. The door was open. So I ran out onto that back patio, and there was nothing.
This was at the time when you had that wooden privacy fence back there, too.
Yes, it was. There was a 6-foot-high privacy fence that went around the yard. There was one gate. There was no way they were going to get through that gate without me hearing.
Not that fast. No.
No.
And they wouldn't have been able to jump the fence either.
But they were just gone. Like I say, I can't say one way or another that it was, you know, an MIB experience or anything like that. But it was pretty damn funny the way everything happened, because I even thought that who the hell could be that fast? There's no way they could have been that fast. They would have to go across my entire yard, even if they tried to jump the fence all the way in the back, which would have really been the only way out, would have been to run to the back of my yard, jump over the top of the fence on the outside. Otherwise, they would have just simply jumped into one of my neighbor's yards.
And I don't think they could have done that.
In order to travel across that, they would have had to have been traveling 10 or 20 times as fast as what it took me to get across that room down in the basement. So I don't honestly believe that anyone could have done that.
And now they paid you a visit on another date too, didn't they?
It happened, I think, 3 or 4 times in my lifetime where I've had experiences like that. The first time was back in the early – well, I wouldn't say early. It was about the mid to later 1980s. I had an old computer I was doing some work on. I needed to run to the store to get a pack of cigarettes or something. Anyway, I got up and I left, and I just left my computer on. And I come back a half hour later or whatever. There was a message written across my screen that said, stop doing your research. There was no sign other than that. There was nothing really missing that I could see at the time. I later found out that a lot of the, back then I had an old dot matrix, damn thing was like 3 feet wide, had tractor fed paper in it. And I had a couple reams of that tractor feed paper sitting over on the side that I had already had things printed out on. And about half of that stack was missing. And it was, again, all research into electromagnetic. A lot of it was some of Tesla's work that it was either notes that I had made or information that I was able to discover about him years ago. I had kept it in an old word processor. All of my printouts were gone. I should say all of the printouts concerning things like that. I was doing a lot of my own electromagnetic experiments back then. I was building my own Tesla coils and things like that. And notes on my own work were.
Right. I remember you telling me that story years ago.
Yeah.
And how they would pay you visits here and there.
Oh, yeah, periodically. What was strange was I had to have a security clearance. When I went to have that security clearance ran a few years later, after talking to some of my friends and coworkers, it almost seemed like too many people had been visited. So I didn't really think a whole lot about it until people told me that some of the people from the government that came out to talk to him almost seemed rather creepy. It was like, you know, I wondered back then, were these people, maybe because I was going through this, maybe were these people interviewed by the MIB? I have no idea, because it was pretty well known back then that I was doing experiments with Tesla coils and electromagnetics in general. All of my friends knew I was doing that kind of stuff. I was considered an underachiever when I was in high school because everybody knew that I was working on these things, but yet my schoolwork and that was completely in the toilet because I was too busy doing that, all the other stuff.
I remember some of them stories that you were saying about that.
As far as within my adult lifetime, I don't think I've had anything remotely MIB related or possibility of it being that way anyway since I've been in Texas. If it is something, it's something that has happened that I didn't even really notice or didn't pay attention to.
Right. But you have refrained from doing a lot of the stuff that you did when you were younger, though, too.
Right. I don't really do a whole lot as far as electromagnetic experiments, things like that. But it should be interesting, though, because I am going to be working on some new experiments using lasers. I'm actually going to put it on alienpodcast.net for people to sort of have an inside look at some of the experiments that I'm going to be doing. I'm also going to be releasing all of the details of these lasers that I'm going to be building, and any experiments I run on with them, I'm also going to be posting those results, too.
Should be interesting, to say the least.
In general, though, what is your opinion of the Men in Black?
Well, I do believe that they exist in some capacity. I'm just not sure as to what. And I do believe that there is... Are they human or are they not? I don't know. I think maybe both, just in different circumstances. You know, in all the ufology that's out there, you would have to admit that the Men in Black is probably the least known, the least documented, and certainly the least witnessed. There's not much out there. There's not really great pictures. There's not great video. There's not even, you know, great stories of people encountering them. But I do think that they are real. I do think that. I'm just not sure how they operate, where they operate, and almost even why they operate. I do think that they are real. I do think they are. And what would be your take on them?
I think that a lot of people actually know about them, but unfortunately, people's knowledge on them is usually limited to the Men in Black movie series. The problem with that is Hollywood. Hollywood
is so far off.
They really are. I truly believe that they are. But the problem is, anytime anybody starts talking about Men in Black, people automatically make that association.
Right.
If you were to tell most people that you had a Men in Black experience, like you did have with the black SUV, people are really going to, in their minds, are going to have a picture of Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones in this SUV following you.
Exactly.
And that's a shame. It's something I think that deserves more attention, really. But like you said, it's so enigmatic that I can't talk for tonight for some reason. But
you're black out your tongue, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's something that they just don't, it doesn't occur enough, or people really don't know enough about. Now, one of the things I think was very interesting about your experience was that around that same time, there were a lot of Men in Black report coming out of Iowa, which of course is not that far from St. Louis. You can
It's not.
You can make it to Iowa from St. Louis in a few hours.
Right.
So I have to say, then if you start taking a look at the possibility of, do they have the ability to interdimensionally travel, or are they from a different time? However you want to take a look at it, it's a real possibility that they could have been there. In my opinion, as far as them actually existing or not, absolutely, I believe that they do. I 100% believe that they do. I've worked on a few different theories as to what I think that they are. What I think that they are is simply the keepers of information, if you will. I think that anytime something happens, when there is a sighting, especially a mass sighting, they're going to show up. Yes, they do intimidate people in that, because I think that they're trying to keep a lid on things, so to speak. And I'm not sure if they're human or alien, or if they work for the government or not, but I do think that there's something to it. That's just my own experiences in life. All of the things, I guess, that I've seen, I could see where that would be a real possibility for them to exist. I would also like to know what our listeners have to say. Do you think that the MIB are real? Do you think there's anything to it at all? Have you ever had an experience with it? If so, let us know. Email us. It's paul@alienpodcast.net or matt@alienpodcast.net. Either one of us would be happy to share what information we have about it, but we would definitely love to hear what everybody else has to say about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd love to hear other people's stories because, like I said, there's not many of them on the internet even. If these stories exist, people aren't going public with them, you know, and I'd love to hear from just the average everyday listener, that not a ufologist, but just somebody that maybe seen something that they weren't sure of and, you know, and maybe they spoke to somebody they weren't sure of and how that was, how intimidating were they, or just any features that you have. But yeah, we'd love to hear from anybody that has any kind of an encounter with these people, because there's not much out there. There's not much information. If everybody's ever going to try to get a handle on what these things are, you need as much information as you can get. And you know, the government's not going to give it to you, so it's going to have to come from the people. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to take the time to share a story, we'll be happy to listen, more than happy to listen.
Okay, I think that's about going to wrap it up here for this episode.
And thank you for listening.
To find out more about the show, or promptly send your death threats, or for your free, no-obligation anal probe, please visit alienpodcast.net.